Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
I'm Russell Van Brocklin. Thanks for having me on.
And we're going to get right into it. Russell, tell us, what is your hot take?
Well, your clients want to know, we're sitting behind Zoom screens, but we still want to know, how can we personalize everything? How can we retain that personal contact when we're not in the office anymore? We're just sitting at home behind a computer screen. I'm going to take what I do to help dyslexic students learn to read, and I'm going to adapt it to show you how to answer that precise question. So first of all, just, you know, where the science is coming from. This is the top book in the field of dyslexia. It's called Overcoming Dyslexia, Second Edition by Dr. Sally Shaywitz. And this is dyslexia. Do you see how the back of my brain has nothing going on, basically, and yours is going crazy? Now, do you see how the front of your brain's about 2.5 times overactive? That deals with a word analysis followed by articulation. So I want you to think, for you, how are we going to have you individually help to maintain that personal contact while you're behind the Zoom screen? So here's my question for you. When you're looking to do this, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, what is it that you want to do? And I'm going to show you how to customize this using a universal theme. And let me explain why that's so important. I want you to imagine you're going to watch a movie, and you read in by a movie reviewer that graduated from some Ivy League college. And they all say, here's what happened. This happened, this happened, and this happened. Happens all the time to all of us. But if you look at a famous movie that you really like say The Shawshank Redemption, comes up a lot when I ask this question. All right. And then what happens is you say, what is the Shawshank Redemption about? It's about renewal. So we start off with the universal theme of renewal. And then we ask, how did the director, how did the actors, how did the screenwriters do with the universal theme of renewal? And you write your review there. So for humans, if we can take a universal theme that is important to us, and we know what that means, we can then use that throughout our marketing material, throughout how we relate to other people, how we relate to customers. And it allows you to be you individually. So let's take what you're looking for. Just take your name and say, I'm the hero. I want to know how to interconnect with my customers, to be a person behind the Zoom screen. And then what you're going to do is look for the most important word. All right. And I'm going to say the most important word of that sentence was connect. Now, here's the problem when you start off with a general universal theme. It's very, very general. This is not you want, you know, connect. That could be anybody. So then what you want to do is to take that universal, that base universal theme, put it into the thesaurus. Once it's in the thesaurus, you want to go through and find the word and the definition that best matches what's in your head. Now, you can do this the old way, going through thesaurus.com, or you could go to ChatGPT and say, give me 10 synonyms and custom definitions for this, or 20 or 50. And then find the one that best matches what the definition that's in your head. And that's going to be your universal theme. That's how you're going to communicate when you're thinking about, how do I be a person? How do I portray what I'm trying to say when I'm talking to people behind Zoom? Think of that, and it's going to allow you to become much more authentic. It'll allow you to feel much more confident because you understand you have a plan going in.
What if I'm obsessed with all of that, because I think it's really important for us to think about these things as a person, right? Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of being able to say, okay, what is my ultimate goal? It's interesting because I don't know that I would have said renewal for Shawshank Redemption right away. Like, it totally makes sense. And as soon as you said it, it like clicked in my head. But my initial, like, oh, when he said Shawshank, I'm like, okay, you know, like, escape and like driving change and like that kind of thing. So maybe, you know, a different word, but it clicked for me when you said it. And I love the idea of thinking about like which definition most resonates with you, because then you're not trying to like put on a facade and pretend to be something you're not. But what if I, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll say, but what if I'm representing a company, right? Like it's not really me as a person. That's not really a value or a definition that I resonate with, but I'm trying to sell a product or a service or something like that. And I have to be myself while also being my company.
Okay. So let's take an example of that. Give me a specific company and give me a specific product that we're trying to promote.
I'm drinking my Bloom Crisp Apple energy drink here, so let's go with that.
Okay. What do you call it again?
It's a Bloom Crisp Apple energy drink.
Okay.
Not sponsored.
Okay. And what is the universal theme that they are trying to promote?
It is a natural source of energy that will boost your metabolism and put you in a positive mood.
Right. Okay. So what they're trying to do is you're looking at the word positive. Okay. Yes. That's what I would call the most important word in that sentence?
Yes.
Okay. So positive is the universal being. Give me 10 synonyms and definitions. Okay. So what I did is I just went to ChatGPT, and this is just the basic free version, so everybody can see what it is. And I would just look at, these are the 10 options: vitality, optimism, radiance, renewal, uplift. Let's just use the top five. Any of those speak to you more than positive?
Radiance, for sure. What person doesn't want to feel radiant?
Okay. So now, if you are doing this for this brand, you would think, when I'm communicating with my customers, I want to show and I want to be radiant. All right. Do you see how? So what I did is I just asked you, what was the sentence? I picked what I thought was the most important word. And then I just went in and read you the top five, the basic free ChatGPT. All right. If I were you, I would actually spend more time on this, try to get the best word, do this several times. But just if you're thinking about, I'm going to now go and talk to a customer on Zoom, I'm going to project and I want them to feel radiant. Do you see how now you have a mindset and it just makes things so much easier?
So it's not necessarily about like changing who you are to fit your product, but finding the elements of your product that best align with who you already are.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. So what we're essentially doing is, this is not your product. You're an employee of the company, or you're here as a, you know, they're your sponsor, but you still want to convey this, but you want to convey it in a way that's unique to you. So if you, as you said, they're about being positive. Okay. Positive is really big, really broad. We can't connect to that universal theme, and it's too clumsy. It makes us, I've had people try it at that level, exactly in these conditions. And they're talking like, I'm thinking, in the customer's like, what? It kind of just really defeated the purpose. But once you just putting it in, I just read the top five and you picked radiance. Okay. Is that acceptable in corporate America? Absolutely. It's a very close synonym, but it's much more specific, and it's you. And it's not like you're saying this is the universal theme of the brand. It's allowing you to focus. Mm. Okay. Here's one of the most important things I've learned about marketing and business school. Number one, concepts are really hard to understand and implement on the fly. You need an example. And it's best if that example is related to you in some personal way. So when I'm going down those lists, did you see how radiance just kind of grabbed at you? There's like, yeah, this is what it is. This is what I want to say. So when you're doing your messaging, when you're talking to your customer, you know, you're behind a Zoom screen, but you say, I want them to feel radiant. So you go and this comes out through you. When you're doing this and you're writing to promote the product, when you're doing any sort of communication, you're thinking about radiance and allows you to focus much better. Remember, we just did this in a matter of seconds. If you really want to do this properly, go through a lot of words, a lot of definitions until you got the one that really not only matches what's in your head, ideally, but also has what you think really involves what the customer is looking for. It's kind of hard to get the two to balance. But as you spend that time on that, then for the rest of the time you're working with this product, it just makes things so much easier.
What do you think is people's biggest blind spot when it comes to creating authentic connection, whether it's online or in person?
We go in, we're meeting somebody for the first time. And it's how do we get something where we have something in common, something that we can build from. So for example, the other day I was meeting a new person requested to meet me online on LinkedIn. And I found that our connection, I explored a lot of different things that we just had nothing to meet up on, but she was a 2X TED talker. And I was like, oh, well, how on earth did you do 2X TED talks? And that allowed us to start finding a foundation, which then has now led us through that discussion. We did find some small areas that we had in common that we could build something to work on in the future together. But if we didn't find that initial connection, we would have missed it. So how do you find something that you have in common? I find discussing that in small talk and then building from there to see what additional connections that you can have to actually try to develop a relationship is one of the most important things.
What about if your interest or the reason you want to connect is a little bit more obvious, right? Like, so if I'm trying to sell something, or I'm trying to do outreach, or, you know, I have an agenda here, right? Like I wanted to sell you something. Mm-hmm. How would I go about doing that in a way that one has a chance of success of getting your attention, but two, doing in a way that doesn't feel slimy or gross?
Well, in that context, this is going to be completely off the wall, but I remember when I used to learn photography, I learned from Monty Zucker. He was the best portrait wedding photographer, 25 years. And what he did to develop business is he had a passion for orphanages, and he would give these kids the best possible portraits, and their adoption rate literally went up by over 10%, by over 10 times. Okay. The board members then felt they owed him something for their photography needs. And what I gleaned from that is when you're looking at things, research the person. So what I would do is when ChatGPT came out with its pro version last December, I bought it that day. You can't do this with five thinking. It just won't do it. So with five pro, I would tell it to think longer. And then I would give them some basic background. I do this before I go on any podcast. There's a series of questions that I ask. And then I get this very detailed response. I ask about the host's education, what they've done since their education, their stick. Why are they doing this? Same thing as when I'm contacting somebody for a lead. I find something that they're passionate about and something that I know about. And then I start the conversation on that, not on trying to sell them anything. And then I actually solve a problem for them in something that they care about, specifically if it relates to charity. If you're going after a major customer, a lot of these people are on board of directors of charities or have some relationship to them. Go in, solve that problem. And yes, you're going to do far less business volume doing it this way. But when you go to a senior person and you show that you care, then they know instinctively that you're not doing this just to be nice. But once you've done something for something they care about, it leads back to the business side, and where you're talking about order size, it's huge. So when I used to do sales like that, I would get a few sales a year, but man, they were massive.
I think that's really important too, because mm-hmm. I get about a million messages in my inbox, in my LinkedIn, and you can tell that they're trying to do like a tiny bit of research, but it's nowhere near the depth that you were talking about. It's usually they scrape something from my LinkedIn profile, or they're using some kind of like demographics list to match me against. I once had a message that was sent to me that was like, you know, men in business leadership like you. And I was like, I think your database might be wrong, bud. Because I'm definitely not a man in leadership. Simply looking at my profile would have done that, right? So there is a balance between like the automation of going out and finding that information and truly paying attention to what you're saying, right?
Well, just for example, your profile that I pulled up took ChatGPT Pro 22 minutes exactly.
Okay. Wow.
All right. And that's just so I have a general, this is not for a sales call. This is just so I have some general idea of how to connect with the host that I'm doing. All right.
Yeah.
And people tell me I'm the most well-prepared guest they ever had. And it's because I actually do this. And I'll tell you, sometimes it takes over 30 minutes. And so that's why an hour before I go on any podcast, I run this and then I have a chance to review it. I'm saying, okay, how am I going to approach this? And that's for being a guest on a podcast and not trying to ask you for $1 million order. So when you go, and the other thing that this does is when you solve something that matters to a charity that they care about, what they're seeing is, wow, this person can actually solve something that matters. All right. And that ability is what allowed me to go and close these huge sales. I would be going in looking for $100,000 sales. Sometimes I'd walk away with over $1 million.
Well, who doesn't want that, right? So let's get into the brass tacks of it then. If someone is hearing this and they have not quite figured this out yet, what is the first thing you would have them do to start successfully building these relationships in a way that's authentic and scalable?
Well, the first thing that I would do is when you're going to talk to somebody is literally, this again does require ChatGPT 5 Pro. Do a quick search, get a basic biography of the person, and then go and create custom questions that are important. I generally ask, what did the host do? Like for my case, what did the host do for their education? What have they done since their education? Why are they doing this show? What's their shtick? Okay. Those are my standard questions that I ask, because I want to know what happened in your education, what you've done since, and why you're doing this. If you're going after a customer, they're in a position. Why is this person doing this job? Okay. You need to find out that as best you can. What are their interests in charitable functions? What do they care about? And you'd be surprised at how much of the stuff is online, but 5 Pro can find it, 5 Thinking can't. All right. Yeah. So you get that information. And then what I would do is then say, okay, what are they interested in? And a lot of times it's a charity. A lot of these people are on boards of charities. Then I would go and contact the charity, find a problem they have that I can realistically solve in a reasonable period of time. I'm dyslexic. I have 2.5 times the neural activity in the front part of my brain. I solve it. I send it to them. And then one of the key things I would do is say, oh, okay. Well, you know, I noticed that I also had an interest with, you know, one of your board members. Would you mind introducing them to me? You want to see what happens when the director of a charity or somebody from one of the regional offices contacts them and says, yeah, I want to introduce you to somebody. They just did X, Y, and Z. Yeah. You have their attention.
And especially because it's like not only a warm introduction, right? Like the thing we're all looking for, but it's an introduction with proof behind it, right? You did something of value for something they care about, and they were willing to make that introduction. A lot of people these days aren't willing to make introductions. So the fact that you can deliver something of value that then turns into an opportunity is a real testament to that system working.
Right. But here's people ask, well, how do you solve something? I spend $200 a month on ChatGPT Pro. I spend $100 a month on Claude from Anthropic, because at ChatGPT can't write. So what I will do is when I talk to the charity, I'll run things there and find, I'll do a deep research report. What's their problems? Then I would confirm it with somebody there, just an administrative assistant will know if this is a problem they have. And again, you're looking for something that you can manageably do. Then I would ask ChatGPT Pro, how do I solve this? Go back and forth, do a couple of deep research reports, find it, come up with a solution, and then have Claude edit it. Okay. And I swear I have to run it through 30 times with Claude Sonic 4.5 to get this to just decently cleaned up because I'm dyslexic. And honestly, I'll do all this in the morning. All right. Then I'll take the report. I'll get on. I'll say, here's the solution. Yeah. I just wanted to contribute. Then I'd get on with, it's not the director of the whole company, but usually a regional office. And they'll be like, they'll be very thankful. And it was like, okay, I would help. I wouldn't say, okay, I just gave you a report. Now get me ahead of, get me somebody on your board. Get to know them a little bit. Spend about a week or two and then ask. So, and then find a hook. Again, ask. Sonic 4.5 what the hook is. It's really good at that. And then say, yeah, can you get me in contact with your board member, blah, blah. And then now they know, because they're there to raise money for the organization. Yeah. That's one of the main reasons. They know what's coming, okay? Just kind of get to know them and at the right time. And Sonic 4.5 is very good at helping advise you on this. And then finally, at the right time, ask for the order. And it's going to be a lot bigger than you think.
I'm not going to lie, you have one of the most sophisticated approaches to AI that I've had on this show. So I'm sure that there's an entirely secondary episode to that conversation. But
here's what you need to know about artificial intelligence. Yes, I use a book called Craft of Research to teach the dyslexic kids. It's designed for PhD students at the University of Chicago. Context problem solution. I drop context to 9-year-olds. So I use that. And if you know the craft of research, you don't need to learn prompt engineering. You know how to use any AI anytime, no matter how advanced it gets. So yeah, I've completely figured out a new way of how to use AI. And why? Because it was made for dyslexics. We have reading and writing and organizational problems, and this is perfect. We can guide it where others people don't know how to do it. And that can be learned.
I love that. You know, considering all of the people that you know or aspire to know, follow, listen, or read, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
This is going to be completely off the wall to most people, but it's Peter Zion. He's a geopolitical analyst. And the reason why I follow him is because the biggest problem in the world now, from an economic standpoint, is if China invades Taiwan, it'll literally be twice as bad as the Great Recession because that's where most of the advanced chips are made. And he keeps me abreast of really what's going on in the world based on populations, resources, and it's just he has a tremendous amount of data. And he will admit he's wrong a decent amount of time, but when he says he's wrong, he'll explain in an ocean of data why. It gives you a solid foundation to figure out what's going on. So I listen to him every morning.
And if someone is hearing this and they want to connect with you, they want to follow up on AI, or learn more about your dyslexia research, or really understand what it takes to build authentic relationships, where can they find you online?
Best thing to do is go to dyslexiaclasses.com. That's plural with an S, dyslexiaclasses.com. And there's going to be a button there that says download free guide. Just click on that, fill out the few questions, and actually go to the Zoom link and set up a time to speak with me directly. And then we can discuss anything you want for half an hour. There's no charge.
Amazing. Well, Russell, thank you so much for coming on The Growth Signal. This was a really in-depth and fascinating conversation.
Thanks for having me.